Chapter 7. A Holiday in Yarmouth. My years at Dr. Strong's school and with the Wickfields passed quickly, and soon the time came for me to leave my happy home in Canterbury and choose a career. I went to my aunt's house to think about my future. "Trotwood, you must take your time to make this decision," my aunt advised me. "Why don't you go to Yarmouth for a few days? Peggotty and Mr. Barkis are living there now, and I'm sure they'd be happy to see you. It may be easier for you to make your decision there."
"I'd love to do that, Aunt," I answered.
On my way to Yarmouth, I stopped in Canterbury to say goodbye to Dr. Strong and the Wickfields. I was especially sad to leave Agnes. Over the years, she had become one of my dearest friends.
"The house hasn't been the same since you left, Trotwood," she remarked.
"I shall miss you, Agnes," I replied. "Now who will I ask when I need advice?" Agnes smiled, but I also saw sadness in her eyes. Then she asked,
"Tell me, do you think my father has changed recently?"
"Yes," I said. "His hands have begun to tremble, and his speech is sometimes unclear. It always seems to happen when he has some important business to attend to."
"Yes, it's all Uriah Heep's fault," Agnes said. "He encourages my father to drink alcohol. So my father gets drunk, and Uriah looks after his business. I'm so worried, Trotwood. Where would it all end?"
I sensed that Agnes wanted to tell me more, but her father entered the room at that moment, so she stopped talking. From Canterbury, I travelled by coach to London, where I planned to stay the night in a hotel before continuing on to Yarmouth. By coincidence, Steerforth, my old school friend, was staying at the same hotel. We were very pleased to see each other, and the following day, instead of going straight to Yarmouth, I spent a few days at Steerforth's house. Steerforth lived in a big house with his mother, who was a widow. They were very rich. His mother was a pleasant woman, and I enjoyed our conversations together. Before I left, I thought of asking Steerforth to join me in Yarmouth. "Don't you remember that Mr. Peggotty invited you when he met you at Salem House?"
"Yes," replied Steerforth, "I do remember. I'd love to go with you."
We travelled to Yarmouth together and were greeted warmly by my dear friends.
"You couldn't have chosen a better time to visit us," Mr. Peggotty declared. "Emily's just told us that she's going to get married."
"Congratulations, Emily," I said. "Who is the lucky man?"
"It's Ham," answered Mr. Peggotty, obviously pleased at his niece's choice.
In all the excitement, I had forgotten to introduce Steerforth to Emily. Afterwards, he whispered to me,
"She's beautiful. Is Ham a suitable husband for her? Don't you think she should have someone better?"
Steerforth and I spent many happy days in the Peggottys' company. Steerforth even went out to sea with Mr. Peggotty and Ham and helped them on their boat.
"He's a quick learner," said Mr. Peggotty, proud of his new student.
One day Steerforth surprised us all by announcing that he had bought a boat and that he was going to call it the Little Emily. One evening, as we were walking towards Peggotty's house, we saw Ham waiting outside. He told us that Peggotty and Emily were inside talking to a young woman called Martha. Martha had been abandoned by a man after he had made her pregnant. People in the town were not sympathetic to her. I heard Martha say,
"I want to go to London. Here, everyone knows me, but no one knows me there. Help me, Emily, please."
Emily stood up and put some money into Martha's hand. They both began to cry. After Martha left, we went into the house, and Emily, still crying, said,
"I want to be a better girl than I am. I'm not as innocent as you think. Please help me, Ham. David, Aunt, please help me."
I didn't know what she meant.